gets it. Mariota inside the 10, reaches for the pylon. He's got it. Touchdown, Tennessee. Not his best punt of the night. Green. Bounce ahead inside the 50. And to the 30. Down the sidelines. And the Jags are set up inside the 10-yard line. Touchdown, Jacksonville. And the ball comes out. Jacksonville with the recovery. Here we go. Game on the line. A stumble. And from behind, he's taken down. And for the second straight year, the game ends on a sack.
A tradition unlike any other. Jim Nance. Thursday Night Football, Titans, Jaguars ending on a sack. Jacksonville scores 10 points in the final 3.5 minutes to get an AFC South win. Chris Wesseling here with me. I'm Greg Rosenthal. We're going to get to Dan Hansis, Mark Sessler, and a special guest to preview all the Week 11 games. But first, let's talk about this 19-13 Jaguars win, a much-needed win for a team that's in the mix now.
Yeah, the Jaguars they have a chance to pull into a three-way tie if the Jets beat the Texans and the Colts lose to the Falcons.
And then we're going to hear a lot about this sort of talk, but does it really matter? When I'm watching the Jaguars this game and most weeks, they don't really look like a good team. I want to be excited about
them. Well, they're not a good team.
No, all four of their wins have been down to the last minute. Three of them have been down to the last play. Now, some of their losses came down to the last play, too, but they haven't been consistent. They do show you flashes, though. Bortles makes a few great plays. This game was similar to that. Allen Robinson's fantastic. Not as many flash plays from Bortles that we're used to seeing, especially in a good matchup, but they haven't really put it all together in a way that I think that they could matter.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think, if you're an AFC team, you're looking – whoever comes out of the South Division is going to be an easy first-round win.
Well, I guess what I mean is that I can't even see them winning the division unless they improve their play in the regular season significantly.
I could easily see them winning.
Really?
Because their schedule is cake the rest of the way, and the Colts and Texans are bad football teams.
I would love to see it, and I do think they can pick up their level of play. Now they get a couple wins, maybe a little more confidence, and they have young players that could play better.
You know what would help them, really? I mean, this is – I'm being honest, bold coaching.
Right, I agree.
They have the tools to be a much better offense than they are because they're not aggressive. They don't play fast, and they should play fast because they have the playmakers to do it. And then running the ball three times to Denard Robinson inside the 7-yard line because you were scared that a rack post sacked you last time you were in the red zone, give me a break.
And in the last time in the red zone inside the 10-yard line, they went run, run, pass. Very old school kind of way. Gus Bradley also has a chance to win the game on a 4th and inches around the 25-yard line, I believe it was. Maybe it was 35. I'm forgetting right now. And instead of doing that, he decides to kick a short field goal to go up 6. He trusted his defense to hold Tennessee out of the end zone. Either way, you're almost definitely going to win the game. But to me, that's the less bold call. If you really trust your defense can go ahead and stop them even if you don't get a yard. But why not trust your offense to get a yard, win the game? Mariota did a nice job driving them down the field, got them in position to throw a short Hail Mary from the 25 or so. Jacksonville gets pressure. And Jacksonville's defensive line really played well all night. I think they housed Tennessee's offensive line for the most part. And that to me was the main difference. I think Mariota played very well, all things considered.
Right. I think the main difference, I think Titans defense played well and Mariota played pretty well. The difference was the 63-yard punt return by Rashad Greene and then Philip Supernaw's fumble.
Right.
Those were the two biggest plays in the game.
Right, which aren't – it wasn't the offense that did it. You're right. It was the punt return. It was – I don't know. It was Tennessee just being shorthanded. I mean, Mariota, his top receiver is Delanie Walker.
Who is really good and produces every week, but right. They have nothing beyond – his second most reliable receiver for the whole season is Anthony Fasano.
Right. And there wasn't a ton of yards in this game, 300 each, but – I still enjoyed it. I like watching these two quarterbacks play. I think it'll be a fun little division to watch with Andrew Luck also in the mix. These three guys playing each other for a while, and you got a little taste of it. I mean, Mariota's looked good. He's consistent week in, week out.
Well, unless the Colts turn into the juggernaut that you think they are, we could be treated to a Jacksonville versus Houston Game 17 winner-takes-it-all matchup.
Well, that's so depressing, and you set up such a great tease for the rest of our show. We'll talk a little Colts Falcons and we'll talk all the games. I just can't wait to get right to it. So let's go send it over to Dan.
The Around the NFL Podcast. Can't get enough Bruno Mars.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I'm joined by a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
That's not all.
Happy
like
Thursday.
You're leaving someone out here.
No. This next member of the hero group is so important, she gets her own introduction.
This is quite a build-up.
She is, no spoilers, she is the host of NFL Total Access on NFL Network. She is Lindsay Rhodes.
Clip that for your Emmy reel.
What?
Oh, gracious. Oh, it's all downhill from here.
Welcome back to the show, Lindsay.
Yay!
Yay.
Been a while.
I'm happy to be here.
It's been a while.
Thanks for inviting me back. It's only been like 4 months or something.
Well, you know, you're very important.
You're busy. You're hosting, you know, the post-game Total Access or pre-game Total Access for Thursday Night Football?
There is only a post-game
that
Total
makes
Access,
more sense.
So I will be doing that, yeah.
On Sundays, in a winking way, I say that our Sunday wrap-up show is the flagship show of the Around the NFL Podcast. But the actual literal flagship program of NFL Network is TA, Total Access. That's Lindsay's joint. So this is, you're kind of a big deal.
Well, so I'd appreciate it if you could not look me directly in the eye for the next hour. I think that would be
I figured that as much.
Dan is awkward about that anyways.
Or else you're going to hear from my people.
That's not true, Greg.
No, you are. You've said
I'll look
that.
You right in the eye, baby.
You said you don't like to look people in the eye in general. This is true.
Only people I don't like.
When did Dan say that? That seems
unfounded. He's not going to deny it.
That's not true. None of this is true. No, it's a, you know, eye contact can be difficult sometimes. Whatever.
I just learned so much about you.
Yeah. That's okay. Listen,
I don't think
sorry, I'm not perfect like you, Greg. How was your NFL Network hit today, Greg?
It was great. It was fun.
I heard you gave old Silver the business.
Well, he's putting helmets on in the middle, you know, trying to make it some sort of mockery of our important football talk.
I don't think he sees it as important.
No. I mean, but it's fun.
But it is Greg is rising through the ranks because
sure.
The face of NFL Network, Rich Eisen, was walking through the newsroom, and he's like, hey, G-Man, great hit. And Greg's like, thanks, Richie. Kind of like that.
That's not it at all.
But you're like you're on the radar.
Patrick Claibon tweeted that it was must-see TV.
Wow.
That showed up on my Twitter.
A lot of heat.
So I'm between two living legends, basically, right now.
Rich actually was giving me a dig. He said, am I Stephen A. or Skip?
Ooh.
So
Greg has done an excellent job of effectively dumping the dead weight, which is the three of us.
Right. Vinny Chase.
Vinny Chase.
This is
How
yes.
are you doing, Turtle?
The preview edition.
Oh.
Wow.
Whatever, Wes.
He said,
well, you should have said whatever, Johnny Drama.
Yeah, I could have said that. I'd rather
that show's terrible. Why are we even talking about it? Yeah. Today is our big preview show. You heard at the very top. You always want to put the best thing in the show at the very top, and that is Greg and Wes, the A-team, maybe just in their own minds, but they are the A-team. They talked about the big AFC South showdown between the Jags and Titans. So that's how we got things started. But there are more games to get to because there are 32 teams, 4 teams on bye. 28 teams, 14 games, 13 to talk about.
Who is that?
Is the math good there, Greg?
Nailed it.
That's me.
That's like
that wasn't like an impression that just went over my head.
No, he's like channeling like a 1640s mathematician.
Yeah,
like who is that person?
Just an affectation.
That's just Dan's math voice.
Yeah, from like four
last,
centuries.
Last
ago.
Week of the buys, we're gonna miss that voice. Why? Well, you could still use the voice.
Did you know, Lindsay, that I once got a 39 on a state mandated math test in high school?
Out of
You know it. Oh, 100. And yet here I am, America.
Yes. With it.
That's awesome.
So a lot to get to. So why don't we get into the games? Because there's so many games to talk about. And we will start with the game that everyone's going to have their eye on. It is being played in Chicago, Illinois. It is Denver Broncos football without Peyton Manning. Brock Osweiler will make the start over Manning, who is dealing with plantar fasciitis in his foot. That's correct, right, Lindsay? You're a broadcaster.
Well, I think the double I pronunciation is correct, but there were some other issues with it.
It would be great if you just kind of gave a winking shout out to Dan by pronouncing it that way from now on the network.
Peyton and his plantar fasciitis.
So, yes, it is Brock Osweiler's show against Jay Cutler and the Bears. And Denver has lost two in a row after a 7-0 start. And the Bears have won two in a row after a 2-5 start. So the Bears are in the wild card conversation. And the Broncos are looking to get back on track. Mark Sessler, I'll start with you on this. You believe in Brock Osweiler, true or false?
Well, I don't think there's enough information because I don't really trust preseason performances. You're playing against a bunch of guys that probably aren't even going to be on the field at this time of year. I think he's stepping into a tough situation. I don't trust him, no.
Even against the Bears, who kind of stink, despite a record that's not so bad anymore.
Well, I mean, the Bears have actually, I feel like, have been a much improved team over the last month. And it's funny because at the start of the season, we were almost across the board ripping Chicago as a clear top three draft pick candidate, and they've completely exceeded expectations. And the Broncos over the last 3 weeks, I mean, who saw that coming?
I don't think the Bears are good defensively, though, even though they've been playing well overall as a team. And so I think it's a good matchup. There's something in the old research packet, which I know you're going
to
take out a little later, that, you know, for the limited amount of attempts that Osweiler's had in his career, No NFL quarterback, I believe, in history has thrown the ball less far down the field. Now, he's only thrown 55 passes, and a lot of them are mop-up time. But basically, he is a dink-and-dunk Alex Smith type of they're going to just keep throwing the short passes. I think that's what you're going to see out of Osweiler. There are not a lot of chances being taken.
Lindsay, I asked this to the guys in the last show. I'll ask you, do you think we've seen our final, like, big Peyton Manning moment, or does he have a comeback down the road in your mind?
Well, I think that's a tough one. I think there's a possibility that that was it for Peyton.
That would be sad if this is how it ends.
Oh, so sad. I mean, one win away from the record.
Oh, man.
One win away and he can't get it.
Watching that game again this week when they had to slow down and stop action to do the ceremony where he had the most passing yards in NFL history, sandwiched between two disastrous plays, and the look on his face was one of complete and utter frustration.
He has to be embarrassed by what's happening. He's such a proud guy. No one's ever put up better numbers in the history of the game at the position. And, I mean, he's just showing that he's mortal, and it's kind of tough to watch.
Can you imagine if they had come back and they had won that game?
Mm.
So he actually, since he was the starting quarterback, would have gotten the win. He would have become the winningest quarterback in the history of the National Football League in a game in which he was benched.
It's a dumb stat.
That's like Landry Jones getting the win last week.
Doesn't the quarterback have to go at least five innings?
I think this is a game that the Bears, you know, they always want to downplay revenge factor, but I'm sure the Bears coaching staff wants to stick it to John Elway in the organization that booted them after one of the best three-year runs in organizational history. They get rid of John Fox. And then there's probably a little bit of Jay Cutler, too. I know it's been a while, the people that got rid of him, but he got run out of town by Josh McDaniels. This is the first time he's played the Broncos.
No.
Yes, what?
He did not get run out of town by Josh McDaniels. He pouted his way out of Denver.
Hey, that's just
he demanded a trade when he found out that Josh McDaniels was looking into a castle.
How'd that work out for Josh McDaniels?
Not well. Nor how has Jay Cutler's career worked out since then?
Made a lot of money.
Yeah.
Money is important. I find. Hey, by the way, I was working on something. As you know, like if you guys follow current events, you know I've been trying to bring back winning.
How's that working?
Don't know if it's going to happen.
Ill-timed.
Charlie might have some issues right now. He certainly has issues. I'm going to try to resurface this. The Bears.
Oh, yeah.
Bring that back. Thoughts? Try to get that in the mainstream.
There's a 8-minute video that exists on YouTube from the early 1990s or mid-1990s when I and some friends did a Da Bears skit for a for a wedding proposal.
Can we surf
this?
It's
on YouTube?
It's on YouTube.
Oh, wow. I don't know if you should have told us that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Greg also revealed this week that he found a picture. Lindsay, were you? I don't know if you've been involved with one of the pods where it was revealed that Greg was in a goth prog rock band in the late 90s.
He makes this up.
In New England. I was emo. It was called Delaware, and he was the singer.
I was in a silly high school band that had nothing to do with goth or prog rock.
Well, you can't see it when you're that deep in it.
Their best hit was called Hurt Hurts.
It was very
emotional. I don't think that Dan would have said that if it wasn't true, though.
They've made up a fictional world. Basically, most things out of Dan's mouth are not true.
What? That's insulting. Was there a band that you were in called Delaware and you were the singer?
That's true. That part is true. Right.
The rest is gray area.
Have you played any of that music on the pod?
We have reached out, or at least asked for people to send the music forward to us, and a drummer came out of the woodwork at some point and sent us a photo, I believe. But we've yet to get any messages.
I dropped the ball. I got a Facebook message from somebody who has materials.
Wes.
I
was
worried
about
sitting on a gold mine,
buddy.
Didn't
follow up.
All right. We split on this game. Mark.
Greg, you should own this before it happens, by the way. You should just bring it in yourself.
It's not
that's
like
PR 101.
Get ahead of this.
Yeah.
It's not like I own the old recordings. I haven't kept the tapes to How Do You Want It Cooked.
We
our first album.
How Do You Want It Cooked?
I've literally told you guys that seven times. It gets the same.
Yeah, but it's great that it clears out and then you get to enjoy it all over again.
We've created so many fictional first albums for Delaware that I forget that the actual one was named that.
We split on this game. Mark, Dan, and Connor took the Bears. Another renegade Connor Orr, by the way, had a big week of games. He's going to be all over the map on this. And Wes and Patra both took the Broncos. Moving forward, we have the St. Louis Rams. We're still trying to figure out what's going on with the St. Louis Rams. They have a new quarterback, of course. Wes's boy, Case Keenum, takes over for Nick Foles, who was benched after weeks of uninspiring play. They head to Baltimore to face the Ravens, the 2-7 Ravens, one of the very worst teams, Mark Sessler, in the NFL. And you're loving it.
I love it.
That's great. You're like a DJ right now, by the way, Mark. You have one ear with the cans you're wearing. One is not covered. What's going on there?
That's a Sessler trademark.
Is it?
It's far more comfortable, and this does nothing for the listener to have one side of the earphone not on for me.
Oh, are there gnats in the room that you need to take in?
Are there what?
Like natural sound.
Oh, I see.
We call
gnats.
Gnats.
Listen, that was, in the biz. That was hit a higher level.
TV lingo.
You're bringing me into a new world with the jargon. Yeah. there are. I like to have a little bit of headphone sound, a little bit of ambient noise, too.
All right. Your thoughts about this game, Mark?
Well, I mean, this is not if you were Nick Foles, this is the wrong week to get benched before because Baltimore's defense has allowed almost everyone to pass against them. But the Ravens actually have not had a single game decided by more than 8 points all season. I mean, they've been sneaky close, but for me, it comes down to Todd Gurley. That's all the only component there is to St. Louis's offense.
But
stop
can he
him.
Carry it? I mean, so if it all comes down to Todd Gurley, then that's...
Well, outside of last week when he had, 45 yards, I think he leads the league since week four in rushing yards per
game.
A little
quiet the week before, too, so he hasn't had one of those monster games in a couple weeks now. Greg, are you starting to get a little nervous now about the Rams, a team that you've fought for, you put sandwiches on the line for, that they're still not putting together? Now they're turning to Case Keenum to save their season. It seems like there's a lot of warning signs here.
Yeah, that's desperate moves. And this is the perfect week. I mean, Jeff Fisher didn't do that by accident. He knows this is a soft landing. They have to win this game. If they win this game, they're at 5-5. They're in the mix. It's a tough schedule down the stretch. I'm not convinced they will win this game, though, because the Ravens, I mean, Joe Flacco's playing pretty well. Last week's performance was about as good a performance that a quarterback with 3 turnovers could possibly have. He is doing as much for his team as much as on his shoulders as just about any quarterback in the entire league.
And by the way, they won that game were it not for a referee disaster.
Well, that's fair. I mean, I don't feel bad for the Ravens necessarily. They've had a lot of great fortune over the years, but I'd be very angry about what happened last week. That's literally a blown call that costs you a game when you're trying to get... Remember, before that Jaguars game, we were all talking about how, you know, and the Ravens themselves are talking about, hey, if we win this game, we win that game, we're in the mix. Now they're buried at 2-7.
I kind of feel like the Vikings game was the turning point game for the Rams. That's the one that they needed to win. And when they didn't win it, I kind of mentally, checked them off the list.
I agree. And they had chances to win at the end of that game, and they weren't really that aggressive. Wes, I mean, this is a big moment for you. You are the biggest Case Keenum supporter in the entire country outside of
the world.
Family. What are you thinking right now? Do you think
that was kind of a joke?
Do you really think that? Do you think he can maybe give him a little spark?
I do. What's his name? Case Keenum?
Case Keenum.
His biggest supporter, ladies and gentlemen.
You have Lindsay his poster in your bedroom.
Put Lindsay next to Wes, and he's just flummoxed the whole time.
I'm Twitter-pated. Case Keenum is either great or terrible. There's no in-between with him. I think once defense has figured out if they blitzed him, he can't do anything. So that's I mean, that's going to be the problem. Can he handle a blitz?
He does. I mean, I like that he throws the ball downfield. He's definitely more of a gunslinger type than Nick Foles is.
I don't know. I think the fact that Nick Foles was a gunslinger is what got him benched. Jeff Fisher.
Well, he's not completing anything.
Right. They were saying he was not looking through his progressions, that he's going for the big shot, getting impatient. You mentioned that he was 0 for 11 on throws 10 yards or more last week, which is a lot of throws down the field. And they were getting frustrated with Foles just going bombs away, and none of them being completed ever.
Yeah, I think it'll be a totally different offense with Case Keenum. He has different abilities. He's more of a scrambler, too.
Connor and Patra both took the Ravens in this game. The rest of us took the Rams. Moving forward, the Indianapolis Colts are playing without Andrew Luck this week. It'll be Matt Hasselbeck's time to shine. Already 2-0 this season. One of Greg's favorite players. I think he's in your top five in the QB index.
Time to shine. Also a great segment on Adam Schein's program.
It's a segment. So you have Matt Hasselbeck starting this game with Andrew Luck out with the abdominal tear, which is just a gross-sounding injury, and the pierced kidney? What is it?
Lacerated.
Nasty.
Lacerated.
So against the Atlanta Falcons. And here's a game this will be very interesting, Lindsay, because, yes, the Falcons got off to the 5-0 start. They're 6-3. And everybody kind of is in agreement that the Colts aren't very good, and now they don't have Andrew Luck. But when's the last time the Falcons really made you say, wow, this team could actually be a team to watch in the NFC?
That's what I'm most confused about, is what happened to the Falcons? It can't just be that they started with all this momentum and then they, you know, just were playing better than they actually were.
Well, they were lucky.
Well, there was one key factor. I mean, their turnover differential over the first five games was very positive, like +5, something like that. And it's been -5 over the last four. They're not winning that battle. And they also, early on, played a bunch of backup quarterbacks that weren't the week one starter.
None of their wins, just looking at it now, are against teams that have a winning record. And they've lost 3 of 4. In a very easy part of their schedule, they've lost 3 of 4, and the three losses are to New Orleans, Tampa Bay, and San Francisco. And their one win in that is a 3-point win against Tennessee. So I just think there's so many teams that are in this big middle of the NFL.
There's a big middle this year.
They're not worse than them. They're just, you know, a 16th or 18th best team in the league. They're going to be in every game, and the Colts are in that group too. But I think the Colts are going to play well. I think they're going
to
win.
They seem to with Matt Hasselbeck.
Yeah.
This season, yeah.
The most head-scratching thing I've heard all week is Greg's just insistence that because the Colts had one good game, they're all of a sudden poised to be great now.
No, I don't think they're going to be great. I think they're going to go win in Atlanta.
You think they're like suddenly a great team?
I like
because
when
they have
Greg
one good
exasperates
game.
Wes.
I just don't understand it.
What,
like
you
the
mean
Colts,
every day?
It's not like they're on a three-game run. They have one good game, and you think that's like a turning point for them.
I do. I think we saw a lot of what we thought was – we were going to see throughout the season from the Colts when they played Denver.
Except they're not the same team. They don't have Andrew Luck.
Lindsay, this is called scientist heat.
I think Matt Hasselbeck will be fine, especially in a game like this. Maybe over time, you're right, it's going to be
a problem. You don't think that Matt Hasselbeck played over his head for two games? I do.
He had easy matchups, and he plays another one.
I hate to see this.
It's uncomfortable, but I am listening. There's a lot of content being dispensed.
The scientist.
You think that he played over his head?
No, they're talking about Wes and I arguing because they've been in L.A. too long and they don't understand that people can respect and even love each other and have a healthy argument.
Are we still talking about the Colts and the Falcons?
Yeah, this is completely spun out
Welcome
of control.
Welcome to our world, Lindsay.
I'd be concerned about Hasselbeck, like his brother mentioned, to be playing 5-6 games in a row.
Kevin Hasselbeck you're referring to?
I believe it's Timothy.
Oh, it's a different brother.
Yes.
Okay.
It's not a good setup for a big chunk of the season, and I'm on Wes's side. If this is where you still sit, I think the Jaguars, if they win Thursday night, and the listeners already know that.
You just blew that. Yeah.
Well, I will tell you what. I think Jacksonville is the team to watch for in this
that,
division.
You could look bad tonight.
I might.
Yeah, the Titans.
But that wouldn't be the first time on this show.
That's okay. So. By the way, back to the Falcons second. I hold in my hands the 2015 season Week 11 research notes.
I'll be back in the
All
That's
right.
the best one yet. Little Winwood.
Here we go. All right, so Matt Hasselbeck starting. It will mark the fifth game this season in which the Falcons have avoided the opposing team's week one starting quarterback. They've already faced, listen to these quarterbacks.
That sounds familiar.
Brandon Whedon, Ryan Mallett, Zach Mettenberger, Blaine Gabbert, and now Matt Hasselbeck. So maybe part of the reason why they are winning games is because they're playing a bunch of bums.
They're losing to Gabbert.
Yeah.
That's the loss in that group. Yeah.
Let's see. Where did we all come down on this game? Ooh, Kevin Patra. I forgot what game we're talking about. Indianapolis. Oh, we all took the Falcons, and that makes sense.
Ooh, Greg would have
Wes and Greg, that little fight kind of threw you off, huh?
Well, you know, it's like scientists are supposed to come together for progress, so I don't like it when dissension.
I'm surprised because Wes is the one that had the Indianapolis Colts as his second or third best team going into the season. Ooh. And then finally they showed up. You got to see a tough T.Y.
They've been a bad football
Frank
team
Gore,
the entire year until they
Kendall
played
Langford's
one
playing well.
Wait, did you say everyone's taking the Falcons?
Yes. How about you?
Okay.
That usually
no, you
goes
don't agree.
Very
I don't
Lindsay has to stay impartial.
The Colts are
poorly
suddenly
for
a
us
juggernaut.
Okay, moving forward.
Colts are the best team in the league. Everybody can just leave the season, just give the championship to the Colts.
The Washington Redskins are 4-5, and that's good enough to be a half game out in the NFC least. Nailed it. They now face the Carolina Panthers, who you may have heard are 9-0, and you may have heard that Cam Newton is an MVP candidate. So here's the question. I'll start with you, Lindsay Rhodes.
Okay.
Host of NFL Total Access.
Thank you for reminding me.
On NFL Network, superstar in the midst. Is Washington the team to end Carolina's perfect season? Or are they going to keep marching?
I'm not going to vote against Carolina until somebody proves that I should. At this point, I've bought into Carolina. I will continue to buy into Carolina until somebody proves that they can beat them.
I feel like this question gets asked every week, and the answer is always the Panthers just don't have a weakness that the other team can exploit. I mean, it'd be different if they were playing the Patriots or something, but I don't think that the Panthers are just a much stronger team than the Redskins.
They're almost like the bizarro Cowboys in the sense, like, Cowboys are a team that has no idea how to close, and the Panthers, even when they're not playing great, they know how to make the plays at the end of the game, and they close out these teams, and that's the only way you can get to 9-0. You have to steal some games, and they've been done a great job all season.
One thing
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
For Washington, I think that you're only looking at this, and you're saying, is this a trap game? Because they're coming off a big win against New Orleans, so we're basing this purely off of what we saw last week against the Saints and saying, like, ooh, they looked so good, now Carolina.
Right. Well, according
but
to
I don't think that if you compared the two teams on paper or what we've seen so far this year, you would think that the Panthers were in trouble.
Well, according to these guys over here, there's two MVP candidates in this game, Cam Newton and Kirk Cousins.
Wait, you still have Kirk Cousins like five spots too low in your rankings.
Where's Kirk on the rankings?
I don't even know if you're watching him play.
It
blows my mind.
He's had some great moments this season and some bad ones.
Right, exactly. He has a very low ceiling. He is very similar to Alex Smith, the type of quarterback that Wes usually hate, which is even in his good games, it's just going to be a lot of short passes and receivers doing the work for him. But every three games, he has a total mental meltdown. So when your high games are not that high.
Stuff? He hit DeSean Jackson in stride down the sideline, squeezed the pass into Jamison Crowder for a touchdown.
Gross.
Great quarterback.
He's coming off the best game against the worst defense in NFL history, as you've said.
This
and
Redskins
he has never
team.
Followed up a game in which he's had a passer rating in the triple digits with a win.
Well, and he's also not had a lot of chances to follow up a good game with another one.
He's had a better season than Jameis Winston, whom you have him behind.
Close.
He's had a better season than Andrew Luck and Sam Bradford, too.
The Redskins' defense in the first 4 weeks, and I think what Wes and I liked about them a lot, they were running the ball extremely well, and they shut four straight teams down to well under 100 yards rushing. That's Carolina's strength. They run the ball. In the last five, they have not given up less than 150 yards rushing. They're getting creamed on the ground, and Washington's not doing what seemed to be their staple early on. And that's when you get inconsistent quarterback play. They can't run the ball, and they can't stop it in most games. When it's clicking, Kirk Cousins has been very good.
I am a believer in Kirk Cousins if he goes to Charlotte and does some damage this week.
See, but I don't see that happening.
This is not a good matchup.
It's a wake-up call after you beat a Saints defense. I mean, the Panthers are a totally different – you're going against
right,
Josh
but
Norman
if,
and Luke Kuechly.
If you're saying Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback, he shouldn't be overmatched by anybody.
I think what he needs
I don't think he's a good quarterback. I think he's a disrespected quarterback. He's a very mediocre guy. Everyone thinks he's terrible.
No, I don't think
he's
terrible.
He's going to get a lot of money in the offseason.
Yes,
there's
is.
Very little difference in those rankings between like 15 and 25. I mean, Ryan Tannehill's been fine. I mean, he's not been good, but they're all in the middle. But you're ignoring Cousins' game against the Giants.
I'm not ignoring any of his games.
And the Falcons and the Jets. Like, he's had plenty of really bad games.
Unlike you, I'm not ignoring part of his game.
Hey, I got scores and everything.
You guys got to get together and talk some stuff out. It's starting to get heated between the scientists. The Redskins, by the way, are going to win, according to Connor Orr. I told you, he is a renegade this week especially. Always.
He has gotten plenty
first
of these
road
right.
win of the season against the undefeated team.
I guess weirder things have
He's
happened.
He's no longer in last place in the picks.
Well, you didn't have to bring that up. I had a bad week.
Who is?
I am.
The old Zeuser.
I had a really
Everyone
bad week.
Everyone had a bad week last week. That was a weird week.
It was the most dog teams won outright since 1971. Wow. And I went favorites heavy, and I got banged. Mm. Moving forward, the Oakland Raiders. And I'll be back. Don't give up on the I always finish right in the middle of the pack. Mediocrity.
Wow.
That's what I gun for.
You're the Kirk Cousins of game
Well, except
pickers.
For that first year.
You don't even get to talk about picks, Greg.
Well, you just can't make up.
Where's the burlap sack?
We can have it brought up here.
The Oakland Raiders are heading to Detroit to face the Lions. I don't know about this game. We got a Lions team that's 2-7. The Raiders, who have been up and down, which you would expect, I guess, but now you need to take care of business against Detroit. I believe the Lions are coming off their biggest win of the season, obviously at Lambeau, so maybe they have some confidence now. But the Oakland Raiders, if they want to play in the postseason, they want to play in January for the first time in over a decade, got to take care of business here, Greg Rosenthal. You think they can do it?
I think the Raiders will win, but I am interested to see what kind of Lions team comes out, because if you had only seen that one game, I mean, it was a good performance on both sides of the ball from them, especially after a slow start for their offense in that game. I just think the Raiders' defense is, especially without Aldon Smith, who is suspended for the rest of the season and was playing very well for them, it's just not a playoff defense. It's a bottom 7 or 8 type of defense, and that's you're asking Derek Carr to put up 30, 35 points every week. I love Derek Carr, but that's gonna be tough to do over the course of the season.
This is a much better matchup than going against the Vikings, which, you know, under the radar, a lot of people killing us on the Vikings have a top 3 defense right now. And this is a matchup where Oakland can do what it wants to do, I think.
Oakland's line has been really good all year, but they were dominated for the most part up front last week against Minnesota. We'll see. Detroit, I mean, they're a team that a lot of us had having a pretty good season going into the year. Wouldn't shock me if they go 5-5 in their last 10 games or whatever it's going to be after their bye.
A little Caldwell magic.
Why not?
I mean, that's true.
It's too late to call it magic, but
the fact that they started off so terribly was one of the biggest shocks of the season, I think, to a lot of people. Now they cleaned house internally or are on their way to doing that. It wouldn't stun me. They still have some pieces that they could win some games down the stretch. I wouldn't be shocked if they played spoiler.
But you see that a lot when you make massive changes either to the coaching staff or, you know, just within the team. You see a lot of those games that immediately follow that where they play outside themselves and, you know, come up with a huge win that no one is expecting, and then they go back to being themselves the next week. So
Dolphins,
I'm curious to see how the Lions respond this week once they kind of get back to some normalcy. That was a quirky game, too, against the Packers.
It was very
strange. A lot of weird plays down the stretch. And
one of the
give the Lions a lot of credit because they made a lot of big plays when they needed to.
They also got lucky down the stretch because they did everything in their power to give the game away as well, and they still got away with it.
That's true.
The Lions are going to be the winner of this game, according to Chris Wessling and the old Zeus.
Wow, why do you have the Lions winning, Wes?
Because the Raiders can't stop anyone. A lot of people were wrong about Mario Edwards, their second-round defensive end, who's played back-to-back phenomenal games, but this defense can't stop anyone.
But can the Lions stop Carr and
Cooper?
I don't
know. It's a coin flip game. I went back and forth on it.
I like the Raiders' offense a lot.
Oh,
those young
sure.
guys, they're just so good.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see what Aldon Smith not being on the field, how that changes things, though. He hasn't had a particularly loud season, but he's a presence. Mm-hmm.
You know what? It makes me think, not to get too dark for these fans that are out there, it makes me think the Raiders would be the most fun team to move down here to Los Angeles to have as our local team. I could get on board with this Raiders
the team on the rise
for a while. Cooper and Carr and whatnot. Sorry, Oakland. You know.
Yeah, I was going to say,
wow.
That's not nice.
Well, if one of them's going to come here, I at least want it to be the one that makes me the happiest.
All right, that's fair enough. Moving on to the next 1 p.m. game, we have the New York Jets coming off, as a Jets fan, one of the more frustrating games in several years, a loss at home to Rex Ryan and the Bills. And now they have a chance to bounce back against a Houston Texans team, coming off their big upset of the season, knocking off the undefeated Bengals on Monday night. The good news for the Jets is that T.J. Yates will be the starter in this game. I believe Brian Hoyer is a mediocre quarterback, but I believe that T.J. Yates given the a bigger sample, will be exposed as one of the worst starting quarterbacks in football. So I think the Jets secondary will get healthy against T.J. Yates. I feel great about this, Wes. Am I crazy?
No, come on. T.J. Yates isn't going to beat anyone except the Bengals. He owns the Bengals, but he doesn't. I mean, he's a bad quarterback. I think there's like a 3% chance the Texans can win this.
Jets have not beaten a team with a winning record, but the Texans do not have a winning record. So you're in good shape, Dan.
I would appreciate it, Mark. It looks like you went through my research notes to get that.
Oh, really?
And I'm a little upset about it, but I'm going to keep moving on.
Well, you effectively duplicated my information from earlier in the podcast with your last notes.
So,
I don't recall that.
You could just reread the same thing I just said.
Wow. No, I wouldn't do that.
Okay. Well,
there are
an option.
So many.
You're making Greg and I a little nervous.
I know. I just got attacked by Mark. I didn't mean to.
We need a nickname for you guys.
And they cut to a split screen so that you guys could fight it out.
They're cutting to a split screen. We're not even recording this. No. It's just for their own amusement.
Hey,
Greg is very happy that it's not focused on him and Wes for 5 seconds of this entire show.
Go on. Mark, go ahead. You run the show.
No, I've said enough.
Do you want
Certainly
to see
have.
The Texans win so that J.J. Watt can be interviewed on the field again and see what he comes up with regards to Ryan Fitzpatrick's beard?
Well, you know what? We talked about it, Lindsay, earlier this week, that it seemed very practiced and rehearsed,
yeah.
J.J. Watt. But Dalton was the ultimate loser because then he doubles down. Andy just let it go, never talk about it again. But then he had to retract his response, which just makes him look even worse. I didn't think it was a great Andy Dalton look.
I don't understand why he insisted that he hadn't seen it and he wasn't going to see it. Like, why was that so important to point out? Like, how have you not seen it? It's all over TV. You've seen it at some point,
He now has the perfectly redone hair. He obviously, as Dan pointed out, has a stylist because he's dressed completely different. He's very edgy.
Right.
Had he blown off that comment and been like, I'm too big for this, it would have been a whole new world for Andy Dalton. Instead, he slid back down into an area where we don't respect him.
It would have been the move would have been to maybe he should check out the standings or something and just move on.
Right.
But he just botched it. I kind of felt bad for him because he's not a guy that's going to burn anybody. That's not Andy Dalton's game, except for his
hair.
That
said, I feel like there is kind of an unspoken rule amongst players. You don't call out another guy and say, like, hey, I beat you and made you look bad.
Yeah, that was
like,
stupid.
Nobody does
yeah,
that.
But he,
so,
come on. It was nothing.
It was
no, but
in
you
a
never
sixth
hear
grade
it.
Style. Like, that insult, if someone had made that insult to someone else on a middle school playground, that person would be mocked because of how stupid and soft that insult was. It like could
unless
not,
it was like 1947.
And he acted like it was like he had questioned the integrity of his family or something.
No, he didn't even act like it. He said that.
Right.
But, the integrity of the game. Think of the children.
How lucky could the Jets be? This is a sign the Jets are going to the playoffs because the football gods are with them to serve up T.J. Yates for him.
It is. No, it is certainly fortunate for the Jets. And how much, by the way, your boy Greg Geno Smith, a Making the Leap candidate, how against Geno Smith or the Jets that they are insistent on starting Ryan Fitzpatrick against the Texans, even though he just had his thumb cut open 5 days ago.
They practiced fully.
I'm saying they never even gave any thought to, you know, maybe split the reps, maybe see if Ryan's 100%. We don't want a setback. They do not want Geno Smith anywhere near the field. They don't want a game to get blown.
Well, let's see how Ryan Fitzpatrick plays this week because he was terrible on Thursday Night Football. The good thing is he's always aggressive, so he made the big plays at the end to get them back in it, even though he played really poorly the rest of the game.
He wasn't helped out by his receivers.
No,
but yes,
and he had a broken thumb on his non-throwing hand, which might have been a factor. But he's going against his old team. He's had a lot of crazy moments in that stadium where he was a little too aggressive, too. And this Texans defense playing well would not surprise me if Ryan Fitzpatrick comes a little back to earth because he's been like that throughout his whole career.
Specifically, their secondary play had some big plays in that game.
Right. Connor Orr, who I said is the renegade, took the Texans. Connor has an impressive streak if you want to go back into the archives. He's picked against both New York teams, which he's covered. He's done the beat for both teams every single week. Except for, I think, 1 week.
That's peculiar.
It is. It makes you think what's going on kind of behind the scenes there.
He's a man that holds grudges, from
That's
what
true.
I've known. I think he just doesn't like them personally.
He's getting a lot of these swing for the fences picks right, though.
He does okay. Most people would, I think. If you go, you'll get probably a half, maybe. It's a hard league to figure out. What's so funny?
Nothing. It was an appropriate summary of the events. Nice job.
Was there something wrong with what I said, Lindsay?
Yeah, no.
Moving forward. The Dallas Cowboys have Tony Romo back. Tony's back after an 0-7 run with Brandon Whedon and Matt Castle. Now they get the Miami Dolphins on the road. So this is not a gimme. The Dolphins have been, you know, very up and down since Dan Campbell took over. So you can't really figure out which team's going to show up here. But you know the Cowboys will be a significantly improved team with Tony Romo. However, Lindsay, they're also going to have a Tony Romo that hasn't played in 2 months. He could be rusty. Is that a very real fear for a team that basically needs a win, or you could kiss the season goodbye?
Well, I'll tell you this. His Twitter game is strong.
He's done a nice job of that.
That tweet that he dropped earlier this week.
The Major League tweet?
That was pretty solid.
Didn't he have another one, too?
Well, I know about the Major League one. I'm not aware of a second.
Yeah, I don't like follow him on Twitter, but I just hear about the Major League tweet.
Wait, what did he say? You wrote a post, Mark, about Romo today, didn't you?
Well, he had comments basically saying that the season's far from over, and that's sort of been the tenor of the whole team. But
you're
buying it.
You think they're going to go on a run?
I think they're going to go on a run this week. Then they play the Panthers the week after that. That's where it could end.
I was going to say, if they win all of their games, they have 9 wins?
Yeah.
Like 9 wins is best case scenario, and they're perfect from here on out? I don't know that I see that happening.
6-8 probably would be.
They had the fourth hardest schedule remaining of any team in the league, and no 2-7 team has ever made the playoffs since 1990.
If they got to 8 and won their division games, there'd be a decent chance that they won the division, but that's going to be really hard.
Asking for everyone to – I mean, yes, I understand that nobody in that division wants to win the division, but you're asking for everyone to fail miserably.
No, I'm asking for them to keep at the exact same level that they've been at. I mean, there's only one team even at 500 in that division. I would be surprised if any of those teams, maybe not surprised, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if 8-8 wins that division.
Right.
Stranger things have happened.
Would it surprise you if they win 7 straight?
Yes.
Because of their
schedule. If they win 1 straight.
I'm not sure they're going to. I don't know if they're going to win this game.
This team.
Why not? Dolphins
are fine. This 2-7 team gets more attention than the other 31 teams in the league combined.
The Dolphins.
But that's just the way it is. The Cowboys will always get attention.
They're terrible.
But it makes sense this week. I agree with you most weeks. But I think this week it makes sense because they looked good with Tony Romo. They were 2-0, and then they lose him, and it makes him look like an MVP candidate because we see the difference with and without. And so now he's back, and there is mathematically enough time for them to make a run. And so, will they? I think those questions are valid this week. If they lose this week, then I agree with you.
Yeah.
Let's say they have to get to 8 to have any chance of going to the playoffs. And here's the rest of the schedule. It's not easy, like we said. At Dolphins, home to Panthers, at Redskins, at Packers. So they got 3 road games in the next 4 weeks. So it's going to be very hard to navigate that.
And the Panthers and the Packers in that mix.
Right. Home to the Jets, at Buffalo, which is a tough game, and then home to the Redskins.
It's rough.
You look at the schedule, they're in trouble.
What helps them is that when he was their quarterback and they went 2-0, those wins came against the Giants and Eagles. You have the Redskins twice. You lost 2 to the Giants and Eagles down the stretch. You can come out of there with a 4-2 record in your division. That may settle it.
Mark and I both took the Cowboys. The rest took the Dolphins.
Dolphins have become even though Joe Philbin's not there, they are the NFL equivalent of Joe Philbin at this point. We don't even talk about them. When their games come up, but there's nothing left. It's just they're like 7-9. They are the AFC's St. Louis Rams.
Jay Ajayi, pretty impressive. He's going to eat into Lamar Miller's workload. He looks like a really good running
back. Good backfield.
I hope so, because I have him stashed right now on my fantasy team.
Unleash him.
Awful, awful, awful.
Defending champion, I know you are.
That's a cagey move by you.
Yeah, it's not when I picked him up last week. But I'm just saying I have him there just in case. I actually might have started him. I might be lying to you. My team's awful.
Like, what are you waiting for in terms of putting him in the lineup?
No, that's what I mean. Yeah. I might be lying to you. He might actually be in my lineup. I don't know why you pick up Jay Ajayi if you don't desperately need to start somebody.
Right. There is a large trophy sitting on Lindsay's desk.
I just like to remind people.
In the newsroom. You did win last year. You're not having a good season this
clearly
year.
It's going to be a short-lived stay on my desk.
What can you do?
Yeah. You executed Fabs, right?
Sucks.
Fabs.
Swept the floor with Fabs.
This year?
You murdered?
Last year, I believe.
Michael Fabiano?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
Before we move forward, let's our last show, we played one of our favorite little games on the Around the NFL podcast. It is called, in English, it's called.
Can I do it?
Yes.
Okay, well, when you get to that part.
In English, okay. Lindsay.
Okay.
Don't walk on the show. I know you're the queen
of
NFL. You see how it is now.
Host seat.
Dan likes to put all his subjects in his place.
I didn't get to play last week, and so I just want I want to have an opportunity to say it. You went around.
Don't
the
be
table
so sure that you
week.
Won't be able to yeah. play. So the name of the game is "What's Your Fancy," but we like to translate it, Lindsay, don't we?
Qual es tu fantasia?
Very well. Very well done.
Well done.
And because we are big Lindsay fans, I've drawn up a Qual es tu fantasia just for you.
Ding, 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 ding.
All right, let's play the game. Qual es tu fantasia? You are Lindsay Rhodes.
Oh, yeah.
One afternoon, a mysterious elfin man with the hair of Rob Ryan and the face of Willow.
Wait, a what kind of man?
Elfin.
Elfin man.
Okay.
Small.
Do you remember who Willow was? Do you remember Willow?
The movie?
The creature?
Yes.
Yeah. Will Smith's daughter?
So he's got Rob Ryan's hair and Willow's face. Appears at your front door. He has a proposition. Intrigued and unafraid, you invite him into your home and put on a pot of coffee.
That checks out.
After some genial chit-chat, the man summons two portals in your living room. If you choose to enter Portal 1, you will become the first female general manager in NFL history, leading the Rams, either in St. Louis or Los Angeles. If you choose Portal 2, you will be fundamentally the same person with the same life and career, but you will now have the secret ability to read a person's mind anytime you make eye contact. Lindsay Rhodes, I ask you this.
The second one.
Yeah, that it was like the option one was like, maybe it's better than my current life. Probably not. And the second one's amazing.
Yeah, is it,
Second one's great.
Do you want to know what people
exactly
think? I mean, I'm not sure I would all the time.
Well, that's true, but could I turn it off? Or
no.
Am I just being bombarded with all of your stupid thoughts?
Yeah, but I would rather that than have a job that I'm totally, like, and I'm not saying you. I'm saying I'm totally unprepared and unqualified for it. I'm going to be fired for it. That doesn't sound fun. I'd rather have my job than be.
Plus, you'd be taking.
I'm glad you
Kara
clarified
Henderson's
that you weren't
job.
Projecting onto me with that comment.
I felt like he was, and then he stopped.
I'm totally prepared to be the general manager.
No, I was talking for this whole room.
Well, I just figured, we're all big football fans, it would be kind of really exciting to be a GM, and you would surround yourself with people that would help you learn on the go. I would think that potentially you would be pumped up about that opportunity and there would be some downsides to reading minds.
Yeah, potentially. But there could be upside as well.
Oh, plenty of upside.
Yeah.
I think it's a mixed bag.
And I like my life.
That's true.
You know, I'd rather stay in my comfort zone. I feel like I kind of know what I'm doing here. I could set myself up for massive failure as the general manager of the Rams.
Would former
and be on the street in a year.
So if let's say you took over the Rams job, though, that's Kara Henderson's husband's job at the moment. Your
former
then
coworker, we would have beef.
You'd have problems.
Like you guys have beef.
Well, if you really want to know,
you'd have to put us on a split screen.
Les Snead and Kara Henderson would go back to the network, and Kara would be working at TA again. You'd switch roles essentially.
That's interesting.
This would, yeah. Man, just would set off a massive chain of events.
It'd be great if you could turn off
butterfly
the
effect.
If you could turn on and off the mind reading thing, because after a while it would get tiring, if nothing else. Like
I like that an elven man has appeared twice in Qual es tu fantasia. Big, big moment for elves in general.
Goblins have a role in the game for whatever reason.
Wait, are elves and goblins different?
They're not the same thing.
They're not.
I see. Goblins
are more mean.
I'm not gonna lie and tell you that I have any idea what an elfin man is.
Elfin, E-L-F-I-N.
Right.
Elfin. Elfin.
I've seen the word before. I just feel like I can't picture.
But it's an adjective. It doesn't mean you're an elf. I mean, it could if you really want to, but you're just describing kind of a
mythical creature.
A whimsical creature.
But I could describe you as, someone could describe me as elf, kind of small and mischievous or something.
Greg pointed at me. I don't like that at all.
Greg saves himself in the middle of a point for the second
time.
Well,
not really. You completely fell into it and then salvaged it.
I was going with the other small man in the room.
All right, I don't like that at all.
You're not elfin.
Thank you very much. Now, that's an authority. Greg's just projecting and spewing his hate all over the studio. It's outrageous.
So the final decision, and it doesn't sound like it's a hard one.
Yeah, no, it wasn't hard.
Okay.
All right, two meanings. The second less big meaning is of or relating to elves. So that's the meaning you're using. But number one, with reference to a person, small and delicate, typically with an attractively mischievous or strange charm. Tell me that doesn't describe Mark Sessler.
Small and delicate?
I wouldn't describe him as delicate.
Well, the mischievous, strange charm part.
Yeah,
I think
mischievous.
Greg, you could have effectively stopped talking like 3 minutes ago and done fine here.
I wouldn't call you physically.
But we wouldn't have gotten a chance to see the like Arsenio Hall style fist pump.
That's true.
They see it a lot.
Read the
that
definition.
Was kind of a backward swipe. I wouldn't call you physically delicate.
No, but you're like a sensitive soul in a good way, not a negative way. you're kind of delicate in that sense.
Mark's like, okay, move on.
Yeah, I mean, I think the analysis has been rich. Let's continue.
All right, let's continue. Good game of, say it again, Lindsay, please.
Qualis to Fantasia.
Very good. Moving on, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 4-5, and now they head to Philadelphia to face the Eagles. And, come on. Not only was it a terrible picks week for me, I have an old boss that was in a high-stakes knockout pool, I'll call it that, and he came to me for advice, and he said, should I take the Eagles? And I said, yeah, that's a great matchup, the Eagles at home against the Dolphins. And what happens? After taking a 16-3 lead, it all goes to hell. They lose their quarterback and then lose the game 20-19. So the Eagles with a chance to really – and my boss has not talked to me. My old boss hasn't talked to me since
then. Don't blame him.
He should have checked the standings before asking you. Maybe text Kevin Patra.
He doesn't know Kevin, so that doesn't check out. But so the Eagles are 4-5 and lost the golden opportunity to – be in first place in the NFC East. Now they get a chance to get on track against the Bucs. But the Bucs, Greg, they're frisky, aren't they?
Bucs are okay. I mean, they're lucky to be 4-5. I still think the Eagles should be the better team in this game. But their wide receivers have become such a problem. Even though Jordan Matthews is playing better right now. Like, when was the last time Riley Cooper had a catch? I think it was a month ago.
What happened to that?
Literally, it was a month ago. Miles Austin hurts them week after week. Even though Mark Sanchez, I think, has shown he can move the ball, this just isn't the same Eagles passing game, no matter who's at quarterback.
The receivers are so bad that Chip Kelly's taking them out of the lineup. They're going too tight end heavy now in a run game. I think they're a run first, two tight end offense now, and he's de-emphasizing the wide receiver.
Which makes sense.
It's so funny because it was just a couple seasons ago where they easily led the league in plays of 20-plus yards. They were all, you know, DeSean Jackson career year, Michael Vick having on his way to career stats, and it's completely changed. Take that.
Boom.
I don't know what to make of the Eagles.
They're very confusing.
They're a very tough team to figure out, and I don't know how you lose that game. And Mark Sanchez, you know, he's going to what? He's going to be starting the next two games, they're saying, or Rap Sheet was saying.
And Dominican Sue is how they lost that game.
Sue took over.
He took over. He took over the game. People, I had the 10 biggest free agent flops this week, and a lot of people suggested in Dominican Sue, which suggests to me they aren't watching him play.
He played great last week, one of his best games.
Isn't it weird to say about a Chip Kelly team after all we've talked about and how diverse and edgy he is that the Eagles have no identity? On
they
offense.
Really don't.
That's true.
Just for fun, because it was a great piece by Wes, and just because I like that song, can I get that Qualis 2 music? I'm going to do the top 10, Wes's top 10 free agent flops. I like that word, flop. Number 10, Greg Hardy. That's funny. Number 9, Kerry Williams, Seahawks cornerback. Number 8, Byron Maxwell, Eagles cornerback. Interesting. Number 7, Torrey Smith, 49ers wide receiver. 6, Percy Harvin, the Bills wide receiver. Antonio Cromartie, Jets cornerback 5. Brandon Browner, Saints cornerback 4. DeMarco Murray at 3. Number 2, Andre Johnson, Colts wide receiver. And number 1, with a bullet, Dwayne Bowe, Cleveland Browns wide receiver. I like that list.
Dwayne Bowe was the easiest one because they wanted to release him the day after they signed him, I think. They've been trying to release that guy since August.
Right.
Murray is played fine the last five weeks. I know the first month counts. Whereas guys like Brandon Browner are actively torching their entire organization on a weekly basis.
Murray,
I think it's a little high for Murray.
I could have put him 1 because he is the poster child for the evils of free agency, that you paid this guy and you signed him to so much money that he can't be allowed to fail. So now you've lost your identity and have to create a new one on offense. You have to de-emphasize what you've done all along and start building your offense around DeMarco Murray, despite the fact that he's been thoroughly outplayed by Ryan Matthews and Darren Sproles.
Yeah, plus the messiness in general of the whole Ryan Matthews signing, how they brought them both in and how Matthews ended up on the team. Like, from the very beginning, it didn't have the right feel. It wasn't passing the smell test.
And that's fine. DeMarco Murray's played better. So he's played so well that his average is up to 3.5 yards per carry.
Well, they need him this week. This should be a big week for Melina Weintraub, your fantasy team, because there's no Ryan Matthews, or it's not expected that he's going to play. Which is good. They should play Darren Sproles more. He's never on the field.
If you're a rhythm running back and then you go to a team where they want to rotate guys in and out of that position, then that...
This is the rhythm of the night. Oh, yeah. All right.
I apologize for inviting that.
Is that the
it's not your fault.
I should say I missed about half of your list because I was listening to how the music so didn't go with what
you were saying. No, it didn't match at all.
Throwing me off. I felt like I should be shopping at Fashion Island.
There's something about a jaunty saxophone that I can't shake it.
Wait, was Jimmy Graham on that list?
He was not.
Trade.
I don't consider
You're right.
We all took the Eagles in that game.
I might change that pick.
Okay. Why?
I like Mike Evans had a very tough game with the drops against the Giants 2 weeks ago.
10 drops in the last 3 weeks.
He's had issue with drops, but he's still producing major numbers, and they have a passing game. Jameis Winston coming out of week one, I would have never thought this would have been Jameis Winston's season. And the Bucs feel like an 8-8 team. They're going to steal some games. And again, I just don't see something invincible about Philadelphia.
All right. Moving on, the Kansas City Chiefs. Hardly invincible, but playing very well after that slow start. Now up to 4-5, right in the playoff mix in that big middle AFC wild card race. Now they head to San Diego to play the Chargers. And, Greg, I thought you hit the nail on the head when you just described that this is just turning into almost like a Cleveland 95 season for San Diego. San Diego 15. Interesting. Doesn't have the same ring to it. But just everything that could go wrong has gone wrong. It's just kind of a lost year. So the Chiefs should continue their winning ways. But still, the Chargers are frisky, especially in their building.
Chargers are a little like the Ravens in that they're in it each one of these games. They don't look like a terrible team, but it's a pretty bad defense. And it's another game where we can just expect out of nowhere half of the city, Kansas City, is going to show up in that stadium. It's just like – it's an amazing thing. I guess it shows what a great place San Diego is to visit, partly.
It is a great place.
And there's enough
way to look on the bright side.
Well, it's true. That is one way to pose the question.
But it's true. I am sure that Chiefs fans will show up there en masse, and I think their defense will get it done, and they'll win this game.
We finally got a sponsor for the show, the San Diego Chamber of Commerce.
Right. Lindsay, we're looking
for
a sponsor.
Come to us. We don't have a football team for long. I don't know. That's just mean.
I'm gonna reach out to the San Diego Chamber of Commerce.
Please do.
Do they have? Do you think they have
the COC?
Money?
They don't even have enough money to build a new stadium.
That they want to put in a podcast instead of a stadium.
They shouldn't. They shouldn't build a stadium because they're smart like the rest of the governments around this country.
City with no interest in having a football team decides to pump major cash into football podcasts. Don't think so.
Right.
They could like move us down to San Diego and we could be the thing that the city rallies around. Doesn't check out a lot in a lot
it's
of ways.
Very
sounds
fictitious.
Like the plot to an awful movie.
Let me throw out this under-the-radar motivational reason the Chargers might pull this off.
Ooh, I like this.
LaDainian Tomlinson is getting his number retired at this game.
Ooh.
All right.
That
I foresee a LaDainian Tomlinson fiery locker room speech.
Ooh. Oh,
he's good at that.
Maybe fires up the running back core there.
That's the next one.
Do we see a rushing touchdown?
Melvin Gordon needs to be fired up by someone.
He's not the best rookie running back in this game. Sharkhandrick West is.
But he's not. Sharkhandrick West
is not a rookie either. But whatever. He just kind of arrived on the
Melvin game. Gordon's not the best running back on his own team. Danny Woodhead is. Mm.
I always.
No touchdowns on 135 touches.
Wow.
Come on, Spice Rack.
I always feel bad for when a team great gets his number retired on a game where the team plays like total crap in the first half. And then everybody's in a bad mood. It happened this past week. I'm trying to think. So Ron Wolf, did he get retired?
Packers, yeah.
And the Packers had just played the worst half of their life. You could just tell the crowd was like, whatever.
If you could look at it like maybe if they had Ron Wolf running the show, they would have won that game.
Well, that's true. Mm. We all
putting it out there.
We all took the Chiefs. How about
that? Happening.
Wow.
All took the road team.
According to
no faith in the LT effect.
No, but you.
Well, we hadn't heard that
argument.
Now.
I think you just swayed all the picks.
Connor's definitely going the other way now.
I have to digest that. Moving forward, yes, the Green Bay Packers, who I was just talking about, we move to another late game. This is a NFC North showdown. The Packers started 6-0, have now lost 3 straight, and they're facing the Minnesota Vikings, who are all alone at the top of the NFC North at 7-2. So here we go. Aaron Rodgers has a shoulder injury. However, Packers coach Mike McCarthy said that Rodgers, don't worry about it. He will be playing. I don't think that surprises anyone. So we have a big matchup here. Lindsay, do you believe that the Green Bay Packers are going to snap out of it? Because if they don't snap out of it here, Yep. Not only will they be riding a four-game losing streak, and this thing is snowballing on them, they're two games out in their division with a loss to the Vikings.
And a head-to-head in Week 17 against them.
Woo.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't figure out what's going on with the Packers. It just doesn't make any sense to me that they were so good. I mean, we're looking at Aaron Rodgers a few weeks ago, and our analysts, Steve Mariucci, Brian Billick, they're all looking at his tape and telling us that he's doing things on the field that they've never seen a quarterback do before. Breaking down all of these intricate ways in which he is better than everybody. And then all of a sudden, it just all falls apart. I don't understand how it happens that quickly.
Is it possible that TV analysts don't know what they're talking about?
Not TV analysts that were former head coaches, one of which won a Super Bowl.
Wes wrote up.
And I'm going to let them know that you said that. And Mooch is here this week. And
you're fired.
He might find you.
Welcome to AOL.com, Greg.
I've blown this. Blown this whole thing.
ATL, just, AOL?
Obviously, Aaron didn't get
no, I'm
he
kidding.
Didn't turn into
a
bad
a
quarterback.
It was a joke.
I feel like
I also don't understand what's going on with
Eddie
Lacy.
Talent.
There's no running game.
What happened there?
They're one of the great mysteries.
They decided to target Davante Adams 21 times. Well, the game plan was to feature him against a Lions cornerback who was making his first start with Rasheen Bathis out of lineup, and Davante Adams couldn't win his matchup against a bad cornerback. And Aaron Rodgers, I mean, when I watch it, I saw a flaw that he didn't have in the first half of the season. Even when he has a time to get his feet set, he's not doing it. Mm. He has the uncanny ability to throw from different angles and from different bases. He's one of the few quarterbacks you can watch, and he throws on the run without his feet under him and still gets a lot on it. But now, even when he has plenty of time to throw, he's not setting his feet, a lot like Cam Newton doesn't set his feet. And I think that's – he's missing a lot of throws.
And I think one of the problems for them in this game is the way to beat the Vikings, especially because the Packers are not a good run-blocking team. The Vikings are an outstanding run defense. They're really tough for them. I think the way to beat them would be to go back and let Aaron Rodgers throw the ball 50 times. But right now, that doesn't really seem like the Packers are set up to be that kind of team.
I don't think Rodgers trusts the talent around him right now, and with good reason. But why does that happen to someone? This isn't a second-year quarterback where Rodgers' mechanics start breaking down. It's the last quarterback I would have picked for that to happen to.
Actually, I think it's the other way around because he's the only one who can do that. It comes so naturally for him to throw from these different angles and different bases that he just falls into a bad habit. Well, you kind of lapse into that.
Maybe we do have to ask the question. He is on the injury report this week. Maybe he's not healthy. Maybe there's something physically wrong with him that they haven't been discussing. He threw 61 passes last week, and that's a lot of passes to throw. And you know, I don't think he necessarily took a beating behind center last week. But by the way, I hold in my hands the 2015 season Week 11 research notes. It's a pretty song.
Going through the entire Winwood catalog. I like it.
Yes. The Packers currently boast the NFL's 21st total offense. Green Bay has not ranked outside the top 20 in total yards per game since 1991. Wes, who was the head coach in that year, and who was the quarterback?
1991?
Yes. This is both a, just to give you some info, and also a trivia
I'll tell
question.
You.
Don Majkowski was the cornerback.
Magic man.
Lindy Infante was the coach.
Yes, Infante is the coach. The quarterback was Mike Tomczak.
Majkowski was the starter.
In 92, wasn't that the year?
That's when Favre took over.
Right.
I think Majkowski
this is 91, the last.
Maybe got hurt.
Tomczak, was probably filling in.
So there you go.
I'm amazed that how well Adrian Peterson's playing is not a bigger story right now, because the last 2 weeks he has been incredible, and it's not just the boom or bust, the big plays. Now he's getting those 7-10-yard runs. He looked awesome last week.
He gained power as the game went on last week.
He was incredible. He had 7 or 8 runs where he's looking like peak Adrian Peterson. And with him, and then you have Linval Joseph's playing about as good as any
– Linjo.
In defensive tackle, they kind of have the dominant guys. And one thing to watch in this game, Teddy Bridgewater, you think, you know, he got criticized. I think, didn't he get criticized, you know, a little bit for his arm and, you know, wearing the gloves and stuff. He's not like the biggest quarterback in the world, but he has the most manly cadence before the snap, if you listen, of any quarterback.
I don't know. Andrew
Luck. Can you reenact it for us?
I would be the last person in this room that would be able to do that, a very nasally Jew sort of sound. Dan and you guys make your living off your pipe, so I think you will appreciate listening to Bridgewater on Sunday. It's just very full and aggressive.
Cadence rankings.
I got to go Andrew Luck, number one. Loudest, deepest voice out there.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
He's like a horse.
That's a pretty good one.
By the way, we all took the Packers.
And I'm switching my pick.
You know what? Don't do it because you're afraid of the guys on Reddit, though. We got flamed on Reddit, on a Reddit page where there was, I counted the word, I added it up. There was a guy on Reddit. It was a whole Minnesota Vikings
really?
Thing where they just bullied the around the NFL team for not like respecting their team. One guy had a 1,251 word post where we all took heat. Mark, you took some, certainly.
I didn't take it.
I picked the Vikings.
As long
did you like
you're
cut,
not changing your pick because
did you
this
cut
Reddit,
and paste that I into something my. That would count the words?
Yes. No, I counted, actually.
You don't want to cross Dan. He will take it seriously.
By the way, the collective candle power on Vikings Reddit couldn't light an attic.
Whoa.
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 But here's why I'm going to switch.
Those are fighting words.
Because I think when you pick a team with Green Bay, it's like I will just pick them every week all season. But this may be a 9-7 team. And Minnesota's defense, only the Bengals are allowing fewer points per game than the Vikings. Mm. And I do understand that people have killed us because we were probably as a group a little slow to the draw for various reasons on Minnesota. And maybe we don't look at their record and trust them as so much as others.
Because they had an easy schedule.
I do trust their defense.
They weren't playing well.
They beat the Bears by 3. They beat the Rams by 3.
Yeah.
It's also possible for a team that's winning to improve. Like, they played their best game of the season. There's no doubt about it last week. And so maybe they got it going. I think if I had to pick, I'd take the Vikings in this game.
They certainly have the
– But you don't pick.
But I had to.
Strike that from the record.
Someone made me.
Please strike that from the record.
With silver.
I continue to get tweets that Greg is making picks on the other podcast.
Sure. I've heard that.
Yeah.
It's part of a bit.
This is a bigger game.
And then he makes a mockery of it.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
It's a bigger game for the Vikings than it is for the Packers. I mean, I think that while the Packers need to pull out a win, I think that this is it for the Vikings, right? They're right there. They're at the doorstep.
If you feel disrespected, this is the win that's going to have everyone say, wait a minute, Vikings are for real.
I think that the Packers are a flawed team.
And if they don't win,
now,
they're going to fall off the face of the earth. Wow.
But even if the Vikings lose, they're 7-3. They're okay. They're still in first place. If the Packers lose, you can really sense a panic. There will be no relaxing in Green Bay if that happens.
You know what's interesting, though, in the NFC is looking at the schedules. All these teams play each other the rest of the way. Minnesota plays Green Bay twice. They play Seattle and Arizona. Green Bay plays some of these teams. Minnesota, if they did lose this game, they're at Atlanta. That's not too tough. But Seattle, then at Arizona, they have to go to Green Bay later. That is a tough road.
All right, moving on. The San Francisco 49ers are 3-6. They now head to Seattle to face the Seahawks. And the Niners are going to be heavy favorite in this game. Or excuse me, the Seahawks are going to be heavy favorite in this game for obvious reasons. But there is now they've lost that invincibility in their own building. Especially we saw it on Sunday night. They weren't able to close against Arizona, and that was really stunning to see. So I still think, Wes, and maybe you agree with me, I'm sure you do, that while they should take care of business, and I think everyone's going to go that way, there is something going on with the Seattle Seahawks now where they are far from a team you always get behind in their building.
Well, they're not as dominant as they were before, but they gave up 39 points to the best offense in the NFC and possibly in the NFL. Nobody shuts the Cardinals down. So, I mean, that doesn't bother me too much. I just think this is – Blaine Gabbert is lamb to the slaughter here. You got lucky to beat the Falcons, so Tom Sula gets one more week out of him. But this is – he didn't want to sacrifice Colin Kaepernick in this game.
Hmm. Anybody else have anything on this game?
I wonder why Russell Wilson hasn't played as well the last couple of weeks. I think it's two worst. He's been about as consistent as any quarterback this year in terms of just steadiness week to week, and I think his worst two games are the last 2 weeks. They are not peaking as a passing attack. One of the reasons is playing Arizona, certainly, but the other
secondary.
One was against Dallas.
It's a good game to get healthy, and Jimmy Graham hasn't scored a touchdown in 6 weeks. That is not
That's
working
a head
out.
Scratcher. They got him for the red zone, and they don't use him then.
We took Seattle across
that
the board.
I don't understand.
To the primetime game, start with Sunday night. The Cincinnati Bengals coming off their first loss of the season. They are now 8-1, and now they get the Arizona Cardinals, the team of around the NFL at 7.
What a team.
They are 7-2, an incredible victory on Sunday night, a game where they were well ahead, then fell behind, then surged at the end. Carson Palmer doing great, playing better than ever, or close to it. And, Wes, this is another revenge game opportunity for Carson Palmer, who was once the shining sun of Cincinnati, like you.
We both absconded with the church funds. I like that he came out and said it's not just another game. He didn't give some kind of cliched jock talk answer. It was
jock talk.
You know what? There's a lot on the line for this one, for me in particular. And he had told Mike Silver in September that, you know, he still has ill feelings about that trade because he took an owner head on, and you just don't do that in the NFL. But I think it's interesting that trade. There was so much written about it, but it's almost worked out perfectly for every party involved.
A little by mistake for the Raiders in a way. First of all, the trade doesn't look that crazy now. If you're the Raiders, Carson Palmer is a pretty good quarterback. And it has worked out for them, but
it did look like one of the great steals.
Started by mistake.
Hugh Jackson's going to be one of the hottest head coaching commodities this year. You've got the Bengals get Gio Bernard and Drake Kirkpatrick, who are playing pretty well. And they go on and draft Andy Dalton because of the Palmer thing.
Yeah.
Because remember, Hugh Jackson was kind of lampooned for how much he gave up to get Carson Palmer.
He also called it the greatest trade in football when it happened.
Well, right. And then he loses his job and Cincinnati hires him. It was like, interesting.
It is true. So, yeah.
What are you getting at?
I have said enough.
So this is a game where I think, I don't even know, this is a game to me, it's almost a coin flip, but after what I saw from Arizona, listen, I'm behind them as team of ATL, but I wasn't maybe all the way in until what I saw them do, what they did on Sunday night. So now I'm thinking, why would I ever pick against them the rest of the season? And that's the logic behind why I picked the Cardinals here, even though I still think Cincinnati's for real, even after a bad game against Houston. We talked about that Monday night game a little bit on the last show, Lindsay. Did you, in that Monday night game, did you see any reason for real worry if you're a Bengals fan, or was it kind of just a bump in the road that was expected at some point?
So one of the things that I think is concerning is that you had Tyler Eifert after the game say that, you know, after he dropped a couple of balls that it kind of got in his head and he started thinking about it,
yeah,
and then that became a problem. Well, I can't help but think that might be emblematic of a larger issue there maybe in Cincinnati. Like, you can't not think about the fact that everyone's waiting for you to fail.
Yeah.
And that quote made me think, like, maybe they're playing not to lose instead of playing to win out of fear, as opposed to, I think that maybe one of the best things that could have happened to the Cardinals is losing earlier in the season. They're out of that undefeated team.
That's what I'm talking about.
They're flying a little bit under the radar.
Right.
I mean, this is the third ranked defense in the league and the first ranked offense. And we're not talking about them like we're talking about the Patriots or the Bengals or the Panthers or anything.
That's how
like
they lose
this week, Kimo Sabi.
And the Andy Dalton, as much as fun we had with it, what he said after the game and how he reacted to it, there was something to that too. I mean, the way he showed some thin skin and overreacted. They didn't come off well at all in that game.
And I'm more concerned with how he's played on the field, that he played that game very carefully. Or he just was inaccurate, throwing a lot of deep passes out of bounds, which reminded me of the old Andy Dalton. He struggled a few weeks ago against Pittsburgh. The last time that he was throwing those deep balls like he was just on fire, I went back. It was really week 5 against Seattle. He had a very good game against Buffalo where they just moved it down the field. They had the bye, and he hasn't had those explosive plays, even against Cleveland, that we saw early. And now he goes and plays the best secondary in the league. When Patrick Peterson is the second best player in your secondary, it's the best secondary in the league. And it's the toughest matchup for just about anyone.
I think for me, it's not a coin flip game because, number one, Arizona is a sneaky home field advantage. They're excellent in that stadium. But the Cardinals were just starting to see their full power. And there really isn't a identifiable weakness with this team. And it's not a good matchup for Cincinnati. And I can't point to one thing that Arizona does that's completely deficient.
I would like to see an edge rusher step up.
Right. They don't have a natural.
Chris Johnson's play has dropped off as well. I mean, Ellington.
Yeah, but they can throw. Ellington's averaging 8 yards a carry.
They're a lot like the Jets, except better personnel in the secondary, which makes sense because they're run by, you know, the same tree of coaches, and Bowles was there, that they don't get anyone that makes one-on-one moves in terms of the pass rush. Everything is from blitzing.
Mark,
let me jump way ahead, and I'm not putting them there. But how fun would a Bruce Arians team in the Super Bowl be?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, this team is...
I mean, that week would be...
I'm putting them there. Yeah, let's
amazing.
Do it.
There are so many great stories on this team. Carson Palmer's redemption, Chris Johnson, nobody wanted him. Larry Fitzgerald's one of the classiest guys in the league. Honey Badger's a great story, and I think you agree is a legitimate defensive player of the year candidate.
Absolutely. I mean, and you, Greg mentioned on his NFL Network hit that he's outplayed Patrick Peterson this season. I mean, you couldn't. He wasn't healthy all.
And
last
by the
year.
Way, Patrick Peterson's outplayed 99%
right.
of the cornerbacks.
Right,
in the
playing
NFL.
Very well. His Twitter handle is like Comeback Season. I don't know if
it
you
is.
Noticed that. And he's having it. He's having the comebacks.
Honey Badger would be the number one get for like you know, local columnists that flooding San Francisco's area in Super Bowl week, because he is such a. It's a great story. That would be the story. He would be one of the biggest stars of that week as well. We all took the Cardinals. Team of ATL. All of us. I like that.
With authority.
Moving on to the final game of the week, Monday Night Football. The Buffalo Bills travel to Foxborough to face the Patriots. The Bills finally won two in a row with Rex Ryan here, coming off that big win on Thursday night against the Jets at the Meadowlands. So obviously there's some swagger in the building for Rex and company. The problem is that they got to go to New England, a place where very few teams win, very few Rex Ryan teams win. So here's the question, Greg Rosenthal. I know New England's missing some weapons. At some point, that's going to show. But in prime time with Tom Brady, they're still going to blow out the Bills, right?
I don't think so. I think they're getting the Bills are getting the Patriots at the right time, and I think the Bills are getting better, and nothing would surprise me in this game. I know. Connor picked the Bills, part of our bold predictions.
I thought about it.
And I don't think that's crazy at all. I mean, the Patriots...
The Bills probably have a stronger roster from top to bottom right now than the Patriots, considering Jamie Collins isn't going to play and Edelman and Deion Lewis are out.
It does look like they're going to get the offensive line. You never know with the Patriots until game day, but it sounds like they're going to get Vollmer and maybe Cannon back, which does make a pretty big difference. Look, they're a great team, but great teams go 14-2 and they lose two games. And they go in little dips of the season when people are a little injured, and they play in a team that has the people that can give them trouble. I
mean, Rex Ryan's head would explode on the sideline.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if they won that game, if you thought you saw anything last week.
Right.
I think win or lose, his head's going to explode in this game.
Wes is probably right about the Bills currently in these teams' current states. They have better personnel overall. But still, the edge is so huge to me, coach and quarterback.
Absolutely. That's
I could not pick against the Patriots.
Right, I wouldn't either.
But the Patriots, you know, in week two or whenever that was, they passed for the most yards any team ever did against the Bills, but they can't do that because they spread. That was all spread attack with Deion Lewis and Edelman. They can't do that.
And they can't do the same thing anyways. That's Belichick. They couldn't come out with the exact same game plan because the Bills will be prepared.
Well, they don't do that. They never do that, but Edelman and Deion Lewis combined for well over 200 yards in that game.
Mm.
And they were a big part of why Gronkowski was not such an obvious target at times. Now, like, the Bills are going to basically try to wipe out Rob Gronkowski and just see
everybody's
what else
happens. Going to.
Well, but everyone's always tried to. It hasn't.
But it's a lot easier when you don't have to send extra coverage to Edelman or worried about putting a safety on Deion Lewis.
I want to see the Malcolm Butler, Sammy Watkins matchup, because at this point Malcolm Butler is moving into my pantheon of all time favorite Patriots. Mm. He's getting there with Ty Law and Troy Brown in the mix.
And Willie McGinnis.
There's just so many choices.
Willie's in there.
Okay.
In New England, they've essentially confirmed their 15th straight winning season, so that pantheon is packed. Greg has, like, hundreds of players to pick from.
Yes.
I just gave you, like, three.
I hold in my hand one last time the Week 11 research notes.
I'm enjoying this one more.
Same boy I used to be. Bang!
Okay, that one was fun.
Watch out, Lindsay.
That was the best one.
Sydney could definitely clip that and send it out as a GIF.
Yeah. Well, we've now went from
Is it
Steve
a GIF
Winwood.
Or a GIF?
That's one of the hotly debated things of all time.
Okay.
GIF. The guy that invented it calls it GIF. But,
oh, well.
Really?
Like the popcorn?
All right.
We go from Winwood to the throne of ease. New England Patriots. Greg on his throne. Cherubs around him feeding him grapes. As Mark said, the Patriots have clinched their 15th straight winning season. The next longest active streak belongs to the Packers, who have six. The throne of ease. Congratulations.
Worst they've done in that span is tie for first place, which to me is even crazier.
Tie for first place and don't make the playoffs.
Right. That happened twice.
It's been quite a run.
Oh, that was a tough season, Greg.
Connor Orr took the Bills, as we stated. The rest of us took the Patriots. And that's it for the preview of Week 11. Well, Lindsay, you've said it all. You've come in here and again dominated in a big spot.
That's all I have to say.
You proved that being a network star doesn't put you above the little people when it comes to podcasting.
And for the most part, you spoke when spoken to, and I appreciated that.
Hey, I'll take it. Lindsay is a celebrity within these walls.
What?
That is it.
Within these walls. Like, literally this room.
Well, no, I mean, nice kind of the...
That has five people in it.
The campus. The campus. Yes, within here, too. Anyway.
Even that could be seen as a little bit of a shot.
I think I'm being respectful, and yet...
Or an overstatement.
Being thrown back on my face. We will be back on Sunday night, of course, and that will be, we will recap all of these games. We call it our flagship show, Lindsay, just to bring it all back around. And so make sure you tune in for that. Thank you. This is Dan Hansa signing off for Quiet Storm, the mailman, Linz, the boss, and La Cid behind the glass.
You need a much cooler nickname.
I know, we're working on it. Till Sunday.